This is the Poetry Foundation's Essential American Poets podcast. Essential American Poets is an online audio poetry collection. The poets in the collection were selected in 2006 by Donald Hall when he was poet laureate. Recordings of the poets he selected are available online at poetryfoundation.org and poetryarchive.org. In this edition of the podcast, we'll hear poems by James Schuyler. James Schuyler was born in 1923 in Chicago. He spent his teen years in Western New York before attending college in West Virginia. During World War II, Schuyler served on a destroyer in the North Atlantic. He remained in the U.S. Navy until 1947. After the war, Schuyler became friends with W.H. Auden and was his secretary in Italy for 2 years. Upon returning to New York City, Schuyler met John Ashbery and Frank O'Hara at a party, and the three became roommates. They collaborated on writing projects together and eventually became associated with the New York School of Poetry. Schuyler also wrote art criticism and curated exhibits at the Museum of Modern Art. Not surprisingly, his poetry took inspiration from prominent artists of the day, especially the painter Fairfield Porter. Schuyler's poems pay close attention to everyday objects and moments. The voice in the poems is personal and conversational, and his lines vary from short and staccato to long, run-on sentences. Some readers have found it more rewarding to read Schuyler's work over the course of his career rather than focusing on individual poems. The late 1960s and 70s were a productive time for Schuyler, and in 1980 he won the Pulitzer Prize for his book The Morning of the Poem. In the following years, Schuyler became increasingly reclusive as he was beset with financial and health problems. Towards the end of the decade, however, he gave several public readings, which you'll hear from in this podcast. In addition to the Pulitzer Prize, Schuyler received a Guggenheim Fellowship as well as other awards. He lived in New York until his death in 1991. The following poems, Now and Then and Freely Espousing, were recorded at the Chelsea Hotel in New York in 1986.
Now and then for Kenward Elmsley. Now and then up from the valley. Now and then a chainsaw rising to a shriek, subsiding to a buzz. Someone is cutting in his woodlot. Another day shows they are not. Someone is two men clearing shoulders of a narrow high-crowned road. Stacked poles were lately saplings, the leaves on the slash gone limp, unstarched, unsized. One man with one fierce eye and where the other should be, an ill-knit cicatrix. Men who don't make much aren't much for spending what they do on glass eyes, tooth-straightening devices. A mouth like the back of a switchboard, nose jobs, de-winning operations. A country look prevailed, and a vestigial fear of the evil eye lurks. My skin creeps. Out of adamant co-op, men in overhauls step into evening rising in long shadow bluish haze to gold and pink by Sodom Lake. Was it that any Bible name was an okay name? And boys stare unabashed and unaggressive. Not what the man on the bus fled from his one-day job talking excitedly about teenage Puerto Rican tailbait and you can have New York. Some present you'd rather have, wouldn't you, an apple tree that climbed up into keels over, sad and too bad, the best apples on Apple Hill. Still, it can be propped or budded on new stock or just that it once was there. Driving past, driving down, driving over, along the Winooski, through the home of Granite City Real Ice Cream, the monument capital, buildings of rusticated granite marred to our eyes by etch-polished granite remodeled downstairs, may be found by a future happily heterodox. There's a touch of autumn. There's another touch of autumn. And the dark tranquility of hemlocks encroaching on untilled fields. You can't make a living plowing stones. Subsistence farming is well out of style. You can't call it living without the margin. Coveted obsolescence. A margin like that on this page, a paper luxury. Collectors, the lady in the antique shop said, are snapping up silver, since we're off the silver standard? Why, maybe so. Perhaps 1827 silver coin silver spoons for $18. Or what about Have You the Pearl of Oars Island? That's a book I'd want to read myself. I'm from here but live in Florida. Winters are too hard, 40 below. You don't feel it, though, like zero in Boston. I'll take St. Johnsbury any day over Boston. Over St. Johnsbury, the clouds shift in curds, and a street goes steeply down into Frenchtown by the railroad station, into which anachronistically comes a real train. Yesterday's torment of dust exhaling plush on the backs of bare knees, today's nostalgia, but not much. Curls cut out of wood, brick of a certain cut and color, a hopped-up cripple on a hill above his pond, a slattern frowning at the early closed state liquor store, an attic window like a wink, the Scale Co. St. Johnsbury has everything. Not this high hill, a road going in undergrowth leads up to, by walls of flat cleared field stones, so many and so long a time to take, so much labor so long ago and so soon to be going back, a host of hardhack and blueberry baby steps, first fallings from a sky in which the wind is moving furniture, the upholstery of summer coming all unstitched, the air full of flying capok and resolutions. Remember to fetch the axe, whack back pine intrusions. From the road, turning down to a lower field, and across the roughest one the county keeps, a woman and a boy come up on heavy horses. Morning. Had frost last night at Adamant. Might have a killing frost tonight. Quick and clear as the water where cress grows, the cold breaks on the hills in the soft crash of a waterfall beyond a beaver pond and slides on, flinging imaginary fragments of cat's eyes from its edges to flash, a bright reality in the night sky, and it, the cold, stands a rising pool about Slovin's farmhouse, and he dreams of dynamite. A bog sucks at his foundations. Somewhere a deer breaks branches. The trees say Wesson. Mazzola replies a frog. It doesn't happen, though, the cold. That is not that night. It happens all right. Not then, when the white baneberry leans secretively where a road forks, met with surprise. Why, here it is, the most beautiful thing. Why, here it is, the most beautiful thing. The spirit of Gillette Burgess sets Mother Nature gabbing. That's my Actia pachypoda, dear. We call it doll's eyes. Got up as smart as ever in muck and dank, she belches. Stews, just a touch of gas. Swamp maple flames and ambles over and plunks down on a dead rubber tire to contemplate smashed glass and a rusty tin and some of my choicest bits. That I call doctor's dentures. These are little smellies. Not the sort you'd look to meet so near, gold-domed, out of scale Montpelier, a large-windowed kind of empty public bigness, so little to show, so much to take pride in, rather more than on the way to stow. A pyrocrafted maple board in a gypoteria. If more men were self-starters, fewer wives would have to crank. Welcome to the chairlift and cement chalet. Days of unambiguous morning when dawn peels back like a petal to disclose blue depths, deep beyond all comprehending, and tall field growth bends with a crushing weight of water cut into sack-shaped portions, each less than a carat, and which streak in early walker's trouser legs. You're soaked, crossing on a door, the spill to where nodding ladies' tresses pallidly braid their fragrance and the woods emit their hum. Days when the pond holds on its steel one cloud in which thin drowned trees stand, spare shapes of winter when summer is just loosening to fall, and bits of ribbon from an electric typewriter patch a screen. Croquet days, scissors and paste nights, after dinner on the better sort of ham, and coffee strong enough to float a goose egg. Are those geese, that V, flying so early? Can it be so late? In the green state, needles, leaves, fronds, blades, lichens, and moss create. Can it be so soon before the long white, refrozen in frost on frost, on all twigs again will flash cross-cutting star streaks, the atoms dance on a treacherous night in headlights. Horrible cold night, remain at home. Clear and beautiful, remain at home. Freely espousing a commingling sky, a semi-tropic night that casts the blackest shadow of the easily torn, untrembling banana leaf. Or Quebec, what a horrible city. So Steubenville is better. The sinking sensation when someone drowns thinking, this can't be happening to me. The providence excavating the battlefield for Hannibal Whomp the Romans. The sinuous beauty of words like allergy. The tonic resonance of pill when used as in she is a pill. On the other hand, I am not going to espouse any short stories in which lawnmowers clack. No, it is absolutely forbidden for words to echo the act described, or try to, except very directly, as in bong and tickle. Oh, it is inescapable kiss. Marriages of the atmosphere are worth celebrating, where Tudor City catches the sky or the glass side of a building lit up at night in fog. What is that gold-green tetrahedron down the river? You are experiencing a new sensation. If the touch-me-nots are not in bloom, neither are the chrysanthemums. The bales of pink cotton candy in the slanting light are ornamental cherry trees. The greens around them and the browns, the grays, are the park. It's, no. Their scallop shell of quiet is the SS United States. It is not so quiet, and they are a medium-sized couple who, when they fold each other up, well, thrill. That's their story.
The following poems, The Bluet, A Man in Blue, and Korean Mums, were recorded at the San Francisco Art Institute in 1989.
The Bluet. And is it stamina that unseasonably freaks forth a bluet, a Quaker lady by the lake, so small a drop of sky that splashed and held, four-petaled, creamy in its throat. The woods around were brown, the air crisp as a car's table water biscuit, and smelt of cider. There were frost apples on the trees in the field below the house. The pond was still, then broke into a ripple. The hills, the leaves that have not yet fallen, are deep and oriental rug colors. Brown leaves in the woods set off gray trunks of trees. What that bluet was the focus of it all. Last spring, next spring, what does it matter? Unexpected as a tear when someone reads a poem you wrote for him. It's this line here. That bluet breaks me up. Tiny spring flower, late, late in dour October. A Man in Blue. Under the French horns of a November afternoon, a man in blue is raking leaves with a wide wooden rake whose teeth are pegs, or rather dowels. Next door, boys play soccer. You got to start over, sort of. A round attic window in a radiant gray house waits like a kettle drum. You got to start. The Brahmsian day lapses from waltz to march. The grass, rough cropped as Bruno Walter's hair, is stretched, strewn, and humped beneath a sycamore, wide and high as an idea of heaven, in which Brahms turns his face like a bearded thumb and says, "There is something I must tell you," to Bruno Walter. In the first movement of my second, think of it as a family planning where to go next summer in terms of other summers, a material ecstasy, subdued, recollective. Bruno Walter, in a funny jacket with a turned-up collar, says, "Let me sing it for you." He waves his hands, and through the vocalese-shaped spaces of naked elms, he draws a copper beak ignited with a few late leaves. He bluely glazes a rhododendron, a sea of leaves, against gold grass. There is a snapping from the bright work of parked and rolling cars. There almost has to be a heaven, so there could be a place for Bruno Walter, who never needed the cry of a baton. Immortality in a small, dusty, rather gritty, somewhat scratchy Magnavox, from which a forte drops like a used Brillo pad. Afraid, but it's hard to think of the sky as a thick glass floor with thick-soled Viennese boots tromping about on it. It's a whole lot harder thinking of Brahms in something soft, white, and flowing. Life, he says, here in the last movement, is something more than beer and skittles. And the something more is a whole lot better than beer and skittles, says Bruno Walter, darkly under the sod. I don't suppose it seems so dark to a root. Who are these men in evening coats? What are these thumps? Where is Brahms and Bruno Walter? Ensconced in resonant, plump, easy chairs, covered with scuffed brown leather, in a pungent autumn that blends leaf smoke, sycamore, tobacco, other, their nobility wound in a finale, like this calico cat, asleep, curled up in a bread basket, on a sideboard where the sun falls. Korean mums beside me in this garden are huge and daisy-like. Why not? Are not oxeye daisies a chrysanthemum? Shrubby and thick-stalked, the leaves pointing up the stems from which the flowers burst in sunbursts. I love this garden in all its moods, even under its winter coat of salt hay, or now, in October, more than half gone over. Here a rose, there a clump of aconite. This morning one of the dogs killed a barn owl. Bob saw it happen, tried to intervene. The Airedale snapped its neck and left it lying. Now the bird lies buried by an apple tree. Last evening from the table we saw the owl, huge in the dusk, circling the field on owl's silent wings. The first one ever seen here. Now it's gone, a dream you just remember. The dogs are barking. In the studio, music plays, and Bob and Dara paint. I sit scribbling in a little notebook at a garden table, too hot in a heavy shirt, in the mid-October sun, into which the Korean mums all face. There is a dull book with me, an apple core, cigarettes, an ashtray. Behind me, the rue I gave Bob flourishes. Light on leaves, so much to see, and all I really see is that owl, its bulk troubling the twilight. I'll soon forget it. What is there I have not forgot, or one day will forget? This garden, the breeze in stillness, even the words, Korean mums.
That was James Schuyler, recorded at the San Francisco Art Institute in 1989 and used by permission of Farrar, Straus, and Giroux. You've been listening to the Essential American Poets podcast, produced by the Poetry Foundation in collaboration with poetryarchive.org. To learn more about James Schuyler and other Essential American Poets, and to hear more poetry, go to poetryfoundation.org.